Welcome to Vallejos Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, November 12th, 2017. The Reverend Wendy Camori Stager is preaching. Her sermon today is Abundance. The gospel message is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30.
Parables are teaching stories. And we have another parable this morning, this parable again from the 25th chapter of Matthew. Again, to remind you, this is part of Jesus' story that takes place just 2 days before Jesus' arrest and crucifixion. It's one of three parables about upcoming judgment. The first was the 10 bridesmaids. The third is the story of the sheep and the goats. This is the second. And compared to the bridesmaids parable, today's parable might be a little easier to enter. Parables, by their construction, invite us to find ourselves inside the story and perhaps identify with one or more of the characters. And so today it was great to have characters up here, not just to listen, but to visualize who is in this story. Parables also ask us to use our imagination. And it's okay to be bringing our emotions and experiences and questions to understand these passages. So today, as we enter into this parable together, I invite us to do it not as individuals, but to imagine all of CPC as a church. It can also apply to your life in an individual, just not where I'm going with the sermon today. So I wonder who CPC might be as a character in this parable. Are we the master? Maybe, maybe not. Usually that's God, right? Might CPC be like the slave with the 5 talents who earned 5 more? I'm not seeing faces that show a lot of enthusiasm for that. And I've heard some envious tones and stories from people who mention the growth and programs and energy at larger churches like Northgate in Benicia, who have so many Christmas Eve services, they hold some on Christmas Eve Eve, and you're supposed to get tickets for them. My goodness. So then I think, okay, maybe CPC is not the five-talent church in this parable. So might CPC be the 2-talent slave? Not quite so distant from us, maybe more like Rockville Fellowship in Fairfield. Well, they've got solid energy and mission in the community, but they're kind of growing right now. Well, that only leaves one more character. That would be the 1-talent slave. There aren't a lot of other choices left. And that's concerning for us because the 1-talent slave doesn't fare very well in this parable. Bob was looking pretty cringing by the time we were done with this one. Because remember this parable. At the beginning, the master summons these three slaves and entrusts his property to them. So entrusting is different than gifting. It's still the master's resources. But the master is going on a journey and won't be there to manage this location, this property. And so then he goes away. And remember the 5-talent slave and the 2-talent slave? They went off and did some economically wise trades and investments. Who knows if they were buying and selling olive oil or sheep or knew the right kind of grain to plant. And the resources that were entrusted to them grew. But that slave who received 1 talent went off and did what? He dug a hole in the ground. Okay, that might work if it was seed, but it's not, right? He dug a hole in the ground and he hid the master's money. After a long time, now we get to use our imagination here. How long was a long time? Was it a year? Yeah, maybe longer than a year. 10 years? 20 years? We don't know for certain. But it was a long time. And he came back and called in the slaves to take account of how they did in his absence. And the slave with 1 talent, as we saw, he's a mess. He has to report third after hearing the success stories of the other two. And he says this, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man." Is that true? Is there anything in the parable that would lead us to believe that the master is harsh? And he goes on to say, "Will you reap where you do not sow, and you gather where you do not scatter seed?" I'm still not sure that's harsh. It might be prosperous, might be lucky, but is it harsh? And the slave says, "I was afraid. I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have back what is yours." And I'm grateful that Bob jumped in, because he's crouching and trembling in fear and shame as the judgment comes down upon him. "You wicked and lazy slave. If you thought I was someone who reaped when he did not sow, then you ought to, you could have at the very, very least put it in with the bankers and get a little bit of interest back." And instead, he is thrown into the outer darkness with weeping and gnashing of teeth. Ouch. Okay, now the master does sound harsh. But whether the master was harsh or not, I'm open for multiple perspectives. But the truest statement, I'm not sure that the slave was entirely truthful with that, but the truest statement the slave made, I believe, was this: "I was afraid." What might the slave be afraid of? He might have been afraid of the punishment of the harsh master, but I also wonder if he had other fears. Fear of failure, like what if he loses the money that was entrusted to him? Those fears of insecurity, and he's worried right from the beginning. He looked at what the other two slaves got, and he's thinking, "Wait, am I even up for this?" And so the slave, I believe, acts out of his fear. And he takes the safest way out he can imagine. And that's to bury the coin and to return the exact same coins back to the master. Not very imaginative. I mean, even the master came up with an alternative: to put it in the bank and earn a little interest. Something conservative, like a certificate of deposit, is something that would have brought something over that long time. And I also wonder if that slave's fear also stopped that slave from asking for any help or advice. There were two other folks nearby who were demonstrating a different way to do things. But the fear of failure led to risk aversion, not wanting to take any risks with what he had been given. And what we're learning from innovative folks like those down in Silicon Valley is that risk aversion kills innovation. It kills creative solutions. It shuts down imagination. But it's safe. But safety itself has a downside. I was just at a conference and we were looking at circles of influence. So you have a safety zone, and that's what you know. We know what that is. And then there's a zone outside of that, and that would be your challenge zone. But if you get too far out of the challenge zone, you get to the overwhelm zone, and then you're not learning anymore. But in that, if you just stay safe, you're not learning. If you're overwhelmed, you're not learning. But if you're in that zone in between, that challenge zone, that is where learning and growth take place. The slave with one talent refused to be in the challenge zone and just stayed in the safe place. And I believe this isn't necessarily a fear that the master implanted in him. I think it's his own fears. Because go back to the beginning of the parable. The master entrusted his property and gave out responsibilities, each according to his ability. So, yes, we're looking at the slave who got one talent, but here's what I know from biblical studies. A talent is a ridiculously large amount of money. A talent was a unit of weight of approximately 80 pounds. And when used as, and it might have been 80 pounds of silver. That'd be a lot to bury, right? And as a unit of currency, a talent is worth about 6,000 denarii. Denarii, we hear is the day's labor, what a slave gets for a day, or a worker would get for a day's labor. But by modern values, if we took, you know, minimum wage, or even a humble salary of a yearly wage of $26,300-some, that talent would be valued at $500,000. So that slave has been given an enormous amount of money. 20 years labor, $500,000 all at once. And the master chose him and says, you have the ability to manage this money. So even if we imagine that CPC might be the slave with one talent in this parable, perhaps we've been entrusted with rather a lot. Another way to enter this parable is to ask when we might be in this parable. Are we right at the beginning, just being given our resources? Probably not. Are we at the end where we're weeping and gnashing our teeth? I hope not. No, as a parable about the end times, the place for us is in the middle. It's before the master has returned and before that judgment day. And the hope for that is that we still have room to change. We still have room to grow. Because if we're in the middle of the story, we have choices of what to do with that talent. And we have the ability to act now. It's not too late. We can heed the warning of the parable and the ending that we don't want to see and still turn things around. By the generosity of pledges and other givers and folks who use the building, we have $250,000 of resources just this year to be using for ministry and mission in 2018. So maybe we're a half talent. I don't know. But that's a lot to work with. And look around. There are committed people here, people who pray, who work, who serve, who lead. Unless you think, looking around this room, that this is a few. I was meeting with pastors at churches like Calistoga who are worshiping with 12 people. I'm friends with Kay Whitney, who's filling in at Stinson Beach. She said, we have 6 people in worship on a regular basis. There is an abundance here. We got a lot going on. We got an amazing choir, right? We got lunch today. And so if we keep looking at ourselves as we don't know anything and we don't know where we're going, we won't go anywhere. But if we look at the abundance that is here and recognizing that now is the time to be investing and risking so that we might also come into the joy of the master. Now, risking is risky. Risk does not mean that success is guaranteed. It means that we might try something, and then nothing happens. And yet, even if nothing happens, could we learn from the process and to step forward and go out and risk something again and try something again and then learn from that? It's a sign that God isn't done with us yet. For indeed, we are entrusted with the resources, with this building at the corner of God's world at Georgia Street in Vallejo, California. This is what God entrusts to us. We are entrusted with it, and God believes that we have the ability to do God's work here. For what if that slave with one talent perhaps didn't risk the whole thing at once, didn't do that investment thing of putting all his eggs in one basket? What if he started small? He just broke up that talent at the banker's and took $100 and went out and bought one sheep and tried it. And then the sheep died. Ugh. But then maybe he took a different $100 and he planted it. And he got enough of a harvest back to get back the initial and a little bit more. Maybe he would have learned then how to invest over time. My commitment to you as your pastor and shepherd and guide in this adventure that we call Community Presbyterian Church is to not ask us to risk foolishly, to put all our eggs in one basket. But I promise you that I will push us to challenge ourselves beyond the safety zone so that we might enter into challenges, risky challenges, where we would grow. I'll say, too, that the growth may not be numerical. It may not be filling the pews with 25 new young families. The growth may be in how we talk and listen to one another, in how we get to know our neighbors and their joys and struggles. Our growth might be in our generosity and in our mission. But I do promise to help to keep us faithful with who we are and to not be challenges to take risks that are like those five talent person that are way beyond what we're able to do. We don't want to run into that overwhelm stage where the learning shuts down. But we're called to step out. To step out in risk and investment according to our ability and according to the resources that we have been entrusted with by God. I know we can do it. We'll do it with courage. We'll do it together. And we'll do it with hope. Amen.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California. Or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.